Greetings, beloved, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And thanks for those of you who have braved the cold weather and you are in church. Amen. Tell your neighbor you have done well to be in church, even if it's cold. You are serious about your walk with the Lord. Amen. I'm very much excited and expectant to see what God is doing among us and what He continues to do. And like we said, we are continuing with what we started last week about fighting the good fight of faith. But today we'll specifically focus on healing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as we see God confirming His word in our lives, we see that the word of God is not just theory, it is practical. As God confirms His word. And I just want to start where I started off last week, just telling you that when you look around and you look at what's happening around and a lot of tragedies, a lot of calamities, many people may be terminally sick. Some of them, you know, they are your close relatives. Some you just hear the person has passed away in a tragic accident unexpectedly. Some you just hear the other one was shot there and all that. All these things that we are keeping on hearing, and you just see that there should be an enemy somewhere. There should be somebody who hates you. There should be somebody who hates mankind. And I want to say to you that the devil hates mankind. The devil hates you. He is our enemy who wants us to suffer. He is the source of all evil. And all human suffering is the source of all diseases. Some of you say, no, Pastor, not all diseases are caused by Satan. Why are you trying to defend him? Is he your relative? Eh? Because you want to reason. And by the way, I'm a doctor by training myself. But I still know that whatever they've taught me is fine. But I know behind anything in the natural, there's something in the spiritual. Amen? Because you only talk about whoever those scientists or the people that will tell you, they will be telling you a natural explanation because they only understand that. Some of us who understand the spiritual, we know there is something behind. Amen? Amen. That's why then sometimes you would find the one who understands the spiritual, it's always already ahead because we know things before they happen. Amen? And I'm thankful to the Lord that even with all those things, we who walk in the spiritual, we are able to subdue the enemy. Because you will never defeat the devil using natural means. Okay?
Amen.
So it means anything that you give natural explanation to, you can use natural means to try and resolve that. But the devil is cunning. You know, the Bible says, in the book of Genesis 3, the serpent was more cunning than any other beast that God has ever created. He's cunning. And you cannot outsmart him with reasoning. You cannot outsmart him with spiritual things. He was a chief angel called Lucifer. So I want to show you where this war started. We're going back to Revelation chapter 12, 7 to 12 NIV. Mr. MJ, so today, I want us to look at it from the angle of where did it all start and why are we here today and what does God say about it? Because for me, the good thing is to know that the devil does not have a final say.
Amen.
Amen. In my situations, the devil does not have a final say. Tell your neighbor, the devil does not have a final say. Tell your neighbor, you may be under pressure today, but the devil does not have a final say. Yeah, we know the end of the book. Amen? We know how things should end up. That's why we are always courageous. And look at this in Revelation chapter 12, 7 to 12 NIV, Mr. MJ.
Then war broke out in heaven.
Oh, so this war, tell your neighbor, this war started in heaven. Continue.
Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back.
So you see, I told you last week that it is not God who was fighting with the dragon, with Satan. God is not in the same class with Satan. He doesn't fight with Satan. Okay? It says, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and the dragon fought back. Yes, that's a fair competition. But then, what happened?
But he was not strong enough.
Oh, tell your neighbor, the devil is not strong enough. Although he likes causing trouble, he's not strong enough. Tell your neighbor that. You know, when we grew up, we had people that we used to call magoshi. Yeah, cowards. Yeah. They like intimidating as if they will beat you. And the moment you stand your ground, they run away. That's what the devil does. But then if he intimidates you and you cave in, then he's got you. Okay? So it says he was not strong enough. Then what happened?
And they lost their place in heaven.
Mm.
The great dragon was held down.
Mm-hmm.
That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray.
So he explains who the dragon was. Is that serpent? You know, in Genesis chapter 3, he's called the serpent. You remember the serpent was more cunning? Yeah. It says that serpent, that ancient serpent. You see now, Genesis chapter 3.
Yes.
Called the devil. So he's got many names. I don't know if others are nicknames or they are all real names. He's a serpent, the devil, Satan, the dragon. Continue.
He was held to the earth and his angels with him.
So we told you last week when we were reading, and it says a third of the stars, if you read it from verse 1, you will see it saying that he flung the third of the stars. So he also took something. It's like when people split, they also get something. They get some followers. That's also how churches split. Usually when a person goes, they still get some followers. Okay? So even when the devil was kicked out from heaven, he had some. It says he and his angels. That's what we call demons today. Okay? Continue.
Then I heard a loud voice in the heavens say, now have come the salvation.
I like this verse. You remember I told you last week, now has come. So with all those commotions, with all those things that some of you would be afraid of, now has come what?
The salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And the power,
mm-hmm,
and the kingdom of our God,
mm-hmm,
and the authority of his Messiah.
I like that. I like it that even when there are all these things, now has come salvation, the power, the kingdom, and the authority of his Messiah. And who has the authority? I have the authority. And that's why even when I talk to sickness, sickness has got to bow. I have the authority. Amen. When I talk to demons, demons must bow, must flee, because I've got the authority. Amen? When I speak to situations, situations must bow, because I have the authority of his Messiah. Continue.
For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been held down. They triumphed over him by the lamb of the blood. Oh, by the blood of the lamb. And by the word of their testimony.
Okay. So they triumphed over him how? By the blood of the lamb and by the word of their testimony. So that's why I don't stop speaking my faith. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. I know what the blood of Jesus does, but I speak so that I can overcome him by the blood of the lamb and by the word of my testimony. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Do you see now the context, the background of this war, of these calamities, of these challenges that you are having. Okay? It says, unlike contrary opinion where we usually think that the devil is in heaven, it says he's not in heaven. This verse, this scripture, isn't it? Yeah. You think he's in heaven. It says, where is he? The devil has gone down to you, earth. And that's why he's causing trouble. He knows that his time is short and he's furious. But then, if that is the case, don't you think God should make provision so that even if the devil is angry, we're still able to handle him? Do you have a problem if your enemy is angry, but your enemy is weaker than you? Do you have a problem? You've got no problem. He can do whatever he wants. He's under my feet. Amen. It's only a problem if somebody who is angry is more powerful than you, then you are in trouble. But if he's angry and I've got power, I've got the authority, then I have no problem because I've got the authority. If you look at Luke, Mr. Mukosi, Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 19 in the New King James Version, I want to show you that the disciples, because this, when Jesus, that verse which we read, it says, the power, the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah. Amen. Okay? Now, I want to show you how this authority of his Messiah works. Because I told you last week that when you have the authority, you may not have the inherent power, but you have the authority because there is power behind you. Okay? So that's exactly what happens in everything that we do as Christians. The power is not inherent in us. We have the authority. God is the one who's working. God is the one who enforces it. So one time Jesus sent his disciples, like he sends us, he sent them to go into villages to preach the gospel and to heal the sick, like he's sending me to come and preach the gospel and heal the sick. And they went there, and as they were using the name of Jesus, sicknesses were bowing to them, demons were obeying them, and they came back rejoicing that even demons listen to us in your name. We are using the authority. Now read for us.
Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.
Hey, I like this. Mr. Netanyahu, don't you like that when you talk to demons and demons are subject to you? Then you come back. It says they returned with joy. They were saying, oh Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. Even sickness is subject to us in your name. Even, in other words, you exercise the name of Jesus, you exercise the authority that you have, and when you are obeyed, it fills you with joy. So they returned with joy and said, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. And they will continue to be subject to us in the name of Jesus. Continue.
And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.
Oh, so it seems like, I'm not sure whether he's referring to Revelation 12, but Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Mm-hmm. But behold,
I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you.
So I like this one because he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So obviously if he falls like lightning and he's now here, he needs to be handled. Then he says, I give you authority to trample on serpents, that old serpent called the devil. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Amen. So over all the power of the enemy. Okay, let's bring it down to sickness as a simple example. So, Jesus has given us even authority even over sickness. And when it says over all the power of the enemy, you remember I always say this. Yeah, I usually say this to people. When I find Christians talking about somebody bewitching them, I have a problem. Not with the one who's bewitching you, but with you who's being bewitched. You say, no, Pastor, but how do you blame me for being bewitched? I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over how many? All the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So in other words, it means it's when we don't understand who we are and the authority that we have that we are going to blame wizards and witches. Because when you are telling us how much they are bewitching you, you are missing something. Yeah. It means they are exercising their spiritual authority, but you've got power over their authority. Jesus says, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So, but if you don't understand this, you will always be defeated and you will always be a victim of the enemy. It means we need to train you. Jesus needs to train us how to war. Psalms 144 verse 1 NIV says, praise the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Psalms 144 verse 1. So he says, the Lord trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. So even when you come to church, when we give you the word, that's why we give you the word, we are giving you tools to face the enemy. You are getting trained. Now you know, oh, so it means I mustn't be afraid of witches and wizards. By the way, for me, I embraced this truth immediately after I was born again, I think by 1986 already, I took this truth seriously. Okay? And when I grew up, the thing I used to fear the most were not witches. It was not... there are these people for multi killing. Maviavat. Okay? All those things. It was not those. The one I feared the most was Ndazi. You call it lightning. But we knew it was not lightning. There was something behind that. You see now science. Science will tell you it's the light. Because they don't understand the spiritual. Okay? We knew there was something behind that. Okay? Because even if it's raining, that thing could still strike. And then they take the millimeter. And you tell me it's the light. Yeah, you will keep like that with your Western thing. Okay? I think somehow, you see, this thing with the Africans, the Asians, and that, they might just be, it's like if you read the book of Acts chapter 17, the people in Athens, they understood the spiritual, it's just that they were doing it from the side of the devil. Okay? But they understood the spiritual realm. Okay? So you need to understand the spiritual realm. So the thing I used to fear was that. Okay? Because I thought, where do you go? Because usually when it's raining, you must be in your house. And that thing can come. Because there is lighting. Then you're just hearing that, and even if you go under the blanket, you're not safe still. Then, after I got born again and I understood this power, one time I was saying to my mother, we used to plow. So we're out in the field plowing. And I said, my mother, do you know what? I'm not afraid of Ndazi, what you call lightning. I know a power that is above that, and I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And my mother said, hey, you can't speak loud like that. Hey, people will, you know. I said, but I'm not afraid of them. And by the way, when I grew up, the place where I was, there used to be this thing when you are sleeping, it's like there are things around at night. And sometimes it's like they're on the roof. Sometimes it's like, and I used to be afraid. And I had no defense. But from the moment I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, hey, I had the authority. I received the power. I received the dynamite. And I'm not afraid of them. Amen. And I'm so free that there were times when now I visit those rural areas. Those things are, they are no longer, they seems they are afraid. When I go to sleep there, they don't come. Because I wanted to exercise the dynamite. I told you last week that when you are a young boy and you've got a dynamite, you want to look for things to prove the power of the dynamite. So it's as if they are no longer there. You know, those of us who believe, we might think there are no wizards and witches and that, because we don't see their effect anymore. It's not that they are no longer there. It's just that you are exercising the higher authority.
Amen.
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 So it seems there are still people who are tormented by those things. So if they are still tormenting you, come and talk to your pastor. We'll come and pray in your house, and those things will not come again.
Amen.
Because we have the authority,
Amen.
The power, the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah.
Amen.
So he says, he trains our hands for battle. And if you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, New Living Translation, Acts 1, 8, NLT, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he says you will receive power. I told you that that word power in original Greek, they said is the word dunamis, which is the word where we get the word dynamite from, or dynamo. So if I've received the power, if I've received the dynamite, then I'm not afraid of the enemy. Amen? And I want you also not to be afraid of the enemy. Because we have been given the power. And Jesus wants to continue to do his work through his body, the church. Amen.
Amen.
So Ephesians 1, verse 20 to 23, Mr. MJ will do it in the Message translation. Ephesians 1, 20 to 23. Because I want to say to you, when Jesus, we know that Jesus has overcome the enemy. Okay? But he has given that authority to us. He has given that authority to his church. Some of you say, hey, I wish Jesus was here. He would heal me. How many of you know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
How many of you know that Jesus is here?
Amen.
Yeah. If you wished Jesus was here, he would heal you. He is here. He will heal you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He is here through us.
Yeah.
He is here through his church. And look at it in Ephesians chapter 1, 20 to 23 Message translation.
All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe.
So tell your neighbor, Jesus is in charge.
Jesus is in charge.
There are, some of you think the devil is in charge. No. Jesus is in charge of running the universe. The only problem is that because Jesus is in charge, you will see how he does it. So those that he has given authority to, if they are not exercising their authority, then it will look like the devil is in charge, even in your families. Because the one who has the authority is sleeping. Last week we told you the scripture in Joel that says, wake up the mighty warriors. Tell them, even those who feel they are weak, tell them they are strong. Let them, the weak, say, I am strong. So Jesus is in charge of running the universe.
Mm-hmm. Everything from galaxies to governments.
Okay, look at that. It says Jesus is in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. So it means there is a spiritual realm behind the natural. If you read the book of Daniel, you will see that Daniel prayed And the answer was sent to Daniel the very first day. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, there were evil spirits that blocked the answer of Daniel. And Daniel says, until the archangel, the angel Michael, so the angel who was being sent was Gabriel. Gabriel is not very good at war. But he's an archangel. Usually when you hear about an angel being sent, it's usually Gabriel. But when you hear about war, Michael. So in Daniel, it says, until a Michael came and he contended, and that's why now I have your answer today. 21 days ago when you started praying, your prayer was already heard. But I was being blocked. So those of you who only understand the natural, then you don't know. Okay? Some of us, we know. There's another realm. Okay? But then, that's where we fight it. Because if we win it there, we know we win it in the natural.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So now, he is in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. Uh-huh.
No name and no power exempt from his rule.
Yes.
And not just for the time being, but forever.
Amen. 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 Mm-hmm.
He is in charge of it all, and has the final word on everything.
Who has the final word?
Christ.
Yes. The devil does not have a final word. So Jesus has a final word on everything.
At the center of all this, Christ rules the church.
Yeah.
The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world.
Unlike what the South African government is trying to do to us, even many governments, they think the church is peripheral to them.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. According to the Lord, the church is not peripheral to the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The world is peripheral to the church.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because we are the ones who've got divine connection.
Yes.
So then the world is peripheral to us.
Mm.
We are not peripheral to the world because we are connected to the center.
Yes.
Continue.
The church is Christ's body.
Yes.
In which he speaks and acts.
Mm-hmm.
By which he fills everything with his presence.
Okay. Now, if Jesus is in charge of running the universe, how does he run the universe? Through the church, which is us. It says the church is whose body? Christ's body, in which he speaks. So Jesus speaks through me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Jesus heals through me.
Amen.
Jesus ministers through me. And in which he speaks and in which he acts. Jesus used to say, the works that I do, it's not my own self doing my work. It's the Father in me doing his work. So, Jesus speaks through us, he acts through us, he fills everything with his presence. And the purpose of Jesus was to destroy the works of the devil. And therefore, if he wants to destroy the works of the devil, he must destroy the works of the devil through us. So that's why 1 John 3, 8b, I will not read it, 3, 8b is the second part of 1 John 3, 8. The second part says, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? So it means whatever the devil is trying to do, Jesus comes to destroy it. So whatever the devil has been trying to put in your life, the Lord is going to destroy it.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Because Jesus has the final say. Amen. So whatever the enemy has been trying to plan and all that, Jesus is going to destroy it. So now, I want us, as we are focusing today in healing and seeing how Jesus heals and how, I want us to look at his attitude, Jesus' attitude towards diseases and sicknesses. Some of you think, no, Pastor, yeah, it's not like diseases are that bad, sickness is that bad. Yeah, you don't know how to be sick. You don't know sickness if you still think sickness is sweet. Sickness is as evil as the devil himself. Hmm. You will find that you were well and you were happy. You even liked eating food. Now all of a sudden there is nice food in front of you and you don't even want to see it. And you tell me that's nice? No. Amen. So, I want us to look, as we look at Jesus' attitude towards sickness, it will help us because if you adjust yourself, then you will never nurse sickness. By the way, some of you, when you want sick leave, just small symptoms of sickness, then you accept sickness so that you can get sick leave. I'll never trade that. I'll never trade my health for just a day of sick leave. It's too much a price to pay. I'd rather go to work. Amen. So don't play with these things. Because now you wish you were sick so that you don't go to work. You get a day. You want to trade that way? It's like when I was still in the north, in those days, I was still practicing as a doctor. There was, you know, the people used to get disability grant. So now there was this person, because we used to certify you are so sick that you are disabled, you should be given disability grant because of your physical ailment. Now, I examined this person. This person was well, but this person was insisting that he's got an ailment. And I must certify him that he's got an ailment so that he must get a disability grant. You don't know disability, you don't know sickness. That's why you play with it. As for me, I don't play with them. I treat them as enemies. Even just a small symptom, when it's coming, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. That's why I say when some of you are saying, no, it's becoming winter now, we'll catch flus. I don't catch flu, I catch the word.
Amen.
Amen. When symptoms of flu comes, I reject it and I want to catch the word. So look at this. Acts chapter 10, verse 36 to 38, New King James Version. So, Mr. Mukosi, you will do that one. Acts 10, 36 to 38, New King James Version. When we are going to read this, I want you to understand that Jesus is in charge of running the universe, and no power is exempt from his rule, even sickness. But then, what was Jesus' inclination to sickness and diseases? Read.
The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all.
So Jesus is the Lord of all. Mm-hmm.
That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, mm-hmm, and began from Galilee, mm-hmm, after the baptism which John preached.
Yeah.
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, mm-hmm, with the Holy Spirit and with power.
So how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power.
Mm-hmm. Who went about doing good and, mm-hmm, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Okay. Can I prove the point that I said to you earlier? So if Jesus went about doing good and healing, he was healing all who were oppressed by who? Okay. So can we agree that sickness is the oppression by the enemy? Hmm? From this verse. Eh? It says Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen?
Amen.
He went about doing good and healing. How many of you know that Jesus is still going about doing good and he wants to heal people?
Amen.
Amen. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And look at it in Matthew chapter 9, Mr. MJ. Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38 NIV. So, I want you to look at this one because this one even makes it more simple. It actually clarifies the torment and the sufferings that are brought along by the enemy. And Jesus wants to set his people free. Jesus wants to set you free. So if you are here today and you were sick or you are sick, even just as the word is being preached, and you're starting to understand this, you're starting to absorb this, then you will be surprised even when we start calling people to come and be prayed for. I feel, Pastor, I'm already healed.
Amen.
Amen. Because when you were hearing this word, you took it by faith and you say, indeed, that's my portion. Even when we call you for healing and you come already with your face stirred up. And when hands are laid on you, simple. You receive. Because now you understand. But if you are still defending sickness, you will never be healed because you are defending it. And the devil, the sickness will be saying, yeah, no, this one is in my camp. It talks for me. But if you treat sickness as an enemy, you are dissociating yourself from sickness. Amen? Look at it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, NIV.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness.
So if some of the sicknesses are from God, why would Jesus go and heal all of them? Huh? Because some of you believe this sickness is from God. He's trying to teach me a lesson. No, the teaching is done by your pastor. I teach you like I'm teaching you today. That's how God teaches you. He teaches you through his word. Okay? But as far as sickness is concerned, Jesus heals it. He doesn't use sickness to teach people. Reread that verse, because the problem with people who don't read the word and they read any other thing except the word of God, then they will keep telling you their own opinions. So reread that part of Jesus proclaiming the good news.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness.
Yes.
When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd.
So he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Who was harassing them?
The devil.
The devil. And Jesus was having compassion on them. So Jesus has compassion. Tell your neighbor, Jesus has compassion. He doesn't like it when you are harassed. Tell your neighbor. He doesn't like it when you are harassed. So the one who's harassing you is not Jesus.
Amen.
It's your enemy. But Jesus, he preaches the gospel of the kingdom and he heals. So I like it that, because then now this brings me to the second thing about the attitude of Jesus, that for him, he doesn't just heal usually like, you know, magicians. Usually magicians will just do like Chesla Posla, and then you see X. Okay? So the way how God heals, it's clear. So many cases, usually he will give us the word. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Usually he would give you the word, and when you believe that word, it's combined with that, with your faith, and then you receive your healing. So if you look at it, it says he went about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing. Now, the second part for me is that Jesus preached the word and healed the sick. So many cases, he would preach the word first so that their faith may be stirred up. It's like today, even if we said we are going to pray for the sick, I'm going to give you the word so that your faith will be stirred up. And when your faith is stirred up, when it's time to pray, it's easy. Because your faith is already stirred up. So go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 15, NLT. Mr. Mukosi, Luke 5, 15, NLT. So, when people came to Jesus, they used to come not only to be healed. They knew that he is going to first preach. Give us the word. Give us something that we can stand with. You know the way of, okay, you can be healed miraculously without even the preaching of the word. That's possible. But usually when you are healed that way and the enemy comes back again and wants to bring that sickness, you don't know how to maintain your healing. Because you didn't get it by faith. It was a miracle. And you won't maintain your healing through a miracle. You maintain your healing by faith. The just shall live by faith. So that's why even when we want your healing to last, we give you the word so that when you are prayed for and you are healed, and when the enemy is bringing some of those symptoms back, you know how to stand your ground. Amen. Because you've got the word. So Luke chapter 5 verse 15, NLT.
But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases.
What did they come to do?
To be healed of their diseases.
To hear him preach and to be healed. Because some of you will be saying, no, Pastor, just heal us. You are wasting our time by teaching us. They came to Jesus to hear him preach and to be healed. That's the right way to get healed. Hear the word preached and let it stir faith in you and then receive your healing. Then you will be able to maintain your healing because you got that healing by faith. But if you are just healed miraculously, it's healing, it's good. But when the enemy comes back, you are not able to resist him because you did not receive that healing by faith. So there are times when people get healed, for example, through the gift of healings, where it's just somebody's faith. It's got nothing to do with your faith. It's somebody's faith, not even that person's faith. It's the gift of healing. It's not like sale, because sale you still pay something. You see, because usually when God wants to heal you, usually if you look at the Bible, you will hear Jesus always saying, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. But there was this man at the pool of Bethesda who had no faith. Yeah, that guy at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years. So he was seated there and he was there paralyzed. Jesus comes to him and say, do you want to be healed? What do you think a person of faith would have said? Yes! So this guy says, I've been here. And because I've got no one to take me into the pool when the water is stirred, everybody jumps before me before I reach there. That's why I'm in this condition. But Jesus didn't ask that question. He asked, do you want to be healed? So despite his explanation and his excuses, Jesus still said to him, take your bed and walk. So that guy got it for free. He got it without faith. It's very rare to get it that way. If you look through scriptures, you will see many cases. People who received something from Jesus, Jesus would always say, your faith has made you whole. Woman, great is your faith. That's usually how things go. And if it's done the faith route, you are able to maintain it. But if it's done through the gift of healings or as a miracle, you are not able to maintain it because you don't know how it came. It was miraculous. Okay? So it says the crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed. Mark chapter 16, 15 to 20, NKJV, Mr. MJ, Mark 16, 15 to 20, New King James Version. Because if they came to hear and to be healed, and Jesus was healing the sick, we also need to preach the gospel and get people healed. Jesus wants to work through us to heal his people. He wants to work through us to deliver his people. That's why I'm very confident of what my God can do and what my God does. I know when I lay hands on the sick, they get healed. I know when I command sickness to go, it has got to go because I have the authority. Amen. But now where we are going to read, you will see that actually this authority is not just reserved for pastors. It's reserved for believers. If you believe, you can do it too. Mark 16:15-20, New King James Version.
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
I like it that even if you are going to get healed, we want you first to hear the gospel. Okay? He says, go and preach. He doesn't just say go and heal. Go and preach. Then they can be healed also. Mm-hmm.
He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Mm-hmm. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Mm. And these signs will follow those who believe.
I like this verse 17. It says, these signs will follow those who believe.
Uh-huh. In my name, they will cast out demons. Mm-hmm. They will speak with new tongues.
Okay. So these signs will follow those who believe. So if you don't believe, don't worry. It will not follow you. Okay? So because I know there were times sometimes some people will tell you, no, we don't believe in this thing of healing of yours that you're talking about. Don't worry, it won't follow you if you don't believe it. Okay? No, pastor, you're trying to tell us this thing, we don't believe it. Don't worry, it won't follow you. These things only follow
those who believe.
So if you don't believe it, it won't follow you. So these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Do you believe it?
Amen. Yes.
Yes. They will speak with new tongues.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They will take up serpents.
Yes. You remember what Paul did the other time? He picked up a serpent trying to pick the wood. Yeah. And that serpent fastened on him, beat him. And then he just did like this into the fire. And people looked at him. They thought he was going to fall down dead. Nothing happened to him. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And if they drink anything deadly...
Hey, I like this one. I like that even poison is included in this verse. It helps.
It will by no means hurt them.
If they drink anything deadly... So I told you that sometimes you go to a person's place and you think that is cool drink. You are drinking thinking you are drinking cool drink. And in the traditional sense, they used to pour in Umtombot, African beer. They would pour something there. So the other one thinks he's drinking that, only to find there's something there. So then the good thing is if you believe and you think that you are drinking cool drink, you think that you are eating meat and they have poured something, what does this verse say? If they drink anything deadly. What will happen? They will just have only running tummy. What does it say?
It will by no means hurt them.
Yeah, it doesn't even say they will not die only. It says it will by no means hurt them. I like the power of God. God sometimes demonstrates his power as if it's a show. You remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. The Bible says, when they came out, because fire had no power over their bodies, it says, not even the hair of their head was singed. Imagine you are in the fire, Miss Mudau, and your nice hairstyle remains. You keep your hairstyle. Amen? Because we would understand it if at least your hair is shrivelled, but you are still safe. We would understand it. But when God demonstrates his power, he almost makes like a show. Amen? Yeah, that's what it says in the book of Daniel. It says, not even the hair of their head was singed. So this one says, even if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. Mm-hmm.
They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Oh, so they will lay hands on the sick, and sometimes you never know, they may recover.
Mm-mm.
They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will receive their healing.
Amen.
Amen. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God.
Okay, so if Jesus, after speaking to them, he went and sat up in heaven, do you think the devil now is off the hook because Jesus has gone to heaven?
No.
Mm-mm. I believe Jesus has given us the authority so that we must continue with his work. Continue. Now you will see verse 20.
And they went out and preached everywhere, mm-hmm. the Lord working with them, mm-hmm. and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen.
Amen. So we preach and the Lord works with us. He confirms the word with accompanying signs. So in other words, I tell you this word, I tell you Jesus is the healer. You believe it, you come here, I lay hands on you. Then he confirms that word that I've spoken by healing. Amen. Amen. That's what we call confirming the word with signs following. Confirming the word with the relevant signs. So that's why I like to give God an opportunity to demonstrate his power. Okay? So, this is what Jesus said to his people, Matthew 10, 7 to 8. I will do it in the New King James Version. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It's Matthew 10, 7 to 8, New King James Version. So he says, as you go, preach. That's the first thing. Before we even heal you, we preach. As you go, preach. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Now, it says something. To even help, some of you, you go to people who call themselves prophets, and they charge you for that. It says, freely you have received, freely give. So if it's from God, we are not going to pay for it. If it's yours, we pay for it. That's why if you go to anybody who is a healer, if they charge you, it's because it's theirs. They've gone to school or they are in Yangas or whatever. Then you must pay. But if it is God, he says, freely you have received, freely give. You only charge me if it's yours. So now, if somebody claims to be a prophet, now, yeah, but you must, yeah, you know. Then it's yours. If it's God's, we don't pay for it. Amen? Because we give to God, not pay things. We don't pay for things. We give when it's time to give, like you keep on giving. Amen. But I receive from God because of his grace. Amen. Freely we have received, freely we give. So that's why when we are going to pray for you here, we are not going to charge you. Mm. By the way, did you know? Yeah, this one applies to whether it's Inyangas or it's medical science or whatever. The good thing I like is that, at least the Inyangas, because the bad part of that, yeah, I've got to say it. Because they are not using natural things, if they use the spiritual, there are only two spiritual realms. It's either God, the kingdom of light, or the devil, the kingdom of darkness. There is no other thing in between. Okay? So it means for a Christian, you can't go there because you're going to the other spirit, to the spirit of darkness. But if it's medical science is not spiritual. Okay? It's not spiritual, isn't it? Yeah. Somebody goes to school and they are taught. Just like you are taught to be a teacher, you can be taught to be a doctor like some of us. They teach us. They say, this medicine, you mix that one with that one, you do this and it does this. That's natural. Okay? So it means for that, we can't say, it's that, don't go or go. You decide. Okay? But some of us who understand the spiritual, we even go to the higher one. We go to the spiritual one. We go to God. Amen?
Amen.
So, it means if I now go to God, I go the spiritual one. That's why I like Psalms 91. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Do you know that with natural means are limited. The other time I was teaching you, I said natural means are limited. So even medicine is limited. That's why you will hear this disease is incurable. That's why you will hear you only have 3 months to live. So now if you place your hope just on man and the ability of man to heal you, sometimes it will work, but there will be times when it won't work. So you can as well start exercising your faith and trust God for your healing. And as you keep on getting taught and you're starting to understand the word, you start exercising your faith even with simple things. The other time I told you, start exercising your faith even with a simple thing like a headache. Even though you know with headache I could have taken a Panadol and it will go. But see that headache as an opportunity to see how to exercise me. Yeah, the other time I was talking about, Abna used to exercise a lot some days in the past, some years. So, and then he would carry things that I can't even carry even though I'm his father. Why? Because he was training and exercising. So you start by certain weights and you, after those weights, then you get more weight, more weight, more weight. So now take kinds of sicknesses as weights. Don't you think that headache would be a lightweight? When we say cancer, now you're talking heavyweights. So if you were not able to handle a lightweight because you were depending on natural means and you missed the opportunity to exercise, when the heavyweight comes, it will be difficult to help it, to handle it. But if you were already used to handling them, you will talk like David. David, when he was now facing Goliath, he says, the God who delivered me from the paw of a bear and a lion will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. That's the importance of a testimony. When you know what God can do, it builds confidence in you. So when something comes and it wants to torment you, now you know my God is able. I know how God heals, even without using any natural means. So start learning it. With those simple things, start exercising your faith. Don't miss that opportunity. So the third thing, because I need to touch this one, I want you to look at, Jesus used to look sickness as an opportunity to demonstrate God's power. So when an attack comes, or when a problem comes, don't see it as something that's going to destroy you. See it as an opportunity to use your dynamite. See it as an opportunity to demonstrate God's power. So I'll give you two examples from scriptures. Okay? Because I've got to prove this to you. And this has changed even my thinking. When a challenge comes, I see it as an opportunity to demonstrate God's power. So go with me to the book of John chapter 9, verse 1 to verse 3 in the Good News Translation. Mr. Mkosi, John 9, 1 to 3, Good News Translation. I want you to look at this one and then see that Jesus, even for somebody who was blind, Jesus saw that as an opportunity to demonstrate the power of God. So read John chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, Good News Translation.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind. His disciples asked him, "Teacher, whose sin caused him to be born blind? Was it his own or his parents' sin?"
Okay, so usually people think because you are sick, it means you have sinned. There are times when sickness can come because you were disobeying. It's true. But not all sicknesses comes because you have sinned. Okay? So now they are saying, this man is blind. Somebody should have sinned. Was it him or was it his parents? What did Jesus say?
Jesus answered, his blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins.
I like how Jesus answers this. His sickness has got nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins. What does it have something to do with?
He is blind so that the God's power might be seen at work in him.
Did you just see that? Did you just see that? Is that proving what I was telling you? So in other words, instead of dwelling on why is this person sick, why is that this, he says he is blind so that God's power might be seen at work in him. And Jesus did it. He demonstrated the power of God and healed that person, and that person could see. So it means when that thing came as a challenge, the enemy was bringing it as a challenge. But then Jesus sees it as an opportunity to demonstrate the dynamite, to use the dynamite to demonstrate the power of God. So read it, Mr. MJ, we're going now to John chapter 11. The same thinking. John 11, 1 to 4, Good News Translation. So this was the time when Lazarus was sick. Again, look at this one. Lazarus was sick, okay? Lazarus, by the way, was very close to Jesus. He was the friend of Jesus, and yet he was sick. So sometimes even people that you dearly love, people that are close to you, they would be sick, okay? Even good Christians can be sick, okay? But when they are sick, it's not time to start writing a will. It's time to see what God can do. So read John chapter 11, 1 to 4, Good News Translation.
A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, became sick.
Okay, so it means the thing of sickness. You know, like we told you, all these things started long, long ago. So sickness is not a new thing.
Mm.
Even Lazarus was sick.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. The sisters sent Jesus a message. Lord, your dear friend is sick.
Hey, look, the friend of Jesus was sick.
Mm.
And I think they were convinced that Jesus is able to heal his friend. Mm. He cannot let his friend die.
Die. Mm.
Okay? So they say, Lord, your friend is sick. What was their expectation? Jesus, you must run and come and heal your friend before he dies. Mm. Okay? Your dear friend is sick.
Sick. Mm.
So, Pastor, your congregant is sick. I'm coming to pray for you.
Amen.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Your dear friend is sick.
Mm.
Yeah?
When Jesus heard it, he said, the final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory.
Did you see what Jesus says? Jesus says, Lazarus' sickness is not unto death. Lazarus, the end result will not be death. And I like what happened, because he said, this sickness is not unto death. Lazarus' sickness is not going to end in death, according to this verse. Then he stayed. And after that, Lazarus
died.
Died. And then Jesus said this sickness is not going to end in death. Now Lazarus died. Okay? Then Jesus now wanted to go and raise Lazarus. So he didn't say to his disciples, Lazarus is dead. He said, Lazarus is asleep. Let's go and wake him. That's how Jesus started with them. Then they said, but if he's sleeping, he will wake up. We don't have to go. Then he said, okay, let me speak the language you understand. Lazarus is dead. But we're going to heal him, to raise him from the dead. Because I said this sickness is not unto death. So when he arrived there, he even said, I'm glad that I was not here. Because if he was there, they would not have allowed, he would have been forced to keep Lazarus alive and not let him die. So now Lazarus dies. When Lazarus was dead, Jesus now went there. When Jesus went there, okay, I want to ask you a question. Which one is easier to do? To heal Lazarus when he's sick or to raise Lazarus from the dead? Yeah. So even now, which one is easy to do for Jesus? To heal you or to raise Lazarus from the dead? Say to heal me. Yeah. It's easier. Now, he goes there and now he wants to raise Lazarus from the dead. He says, where did you lay him? Take, open the tomb. And then the sister says, so go to Mr. MJ, go to verse 38 to that 42 in the same Good News translation, because I want you to look at this. Now you will see Jesus, he wants to show that glory that he talked about. Continue, read it for us from verse 38.
Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. Take the stone away, Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, there will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried for 4 days.
Hey, Jesus, if you wanted to do anything, you should have come earlier when he was still alive. Now he is dead and it's 4 days.
Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believed?
So Jesus is asking us the same question. Do you know that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Amen. If you believe, you will see God demonstrating his power. Amen. Yes. How many of you are expecting to see God demonstrating his power?
Amen.
Amen. I believe it. And if you believe, you will see the glory of God. They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came back to life, having been dead for 4 days. So I always think of this part when I want to get healed. Lord, you could raise the body of Lazarus from the dead, which was even stinking. My body is not even dead. So it should be easy to fix. It's more difficult to raise that Lazarus body. And it was not just day one. It was 4 days. And Martha even said, it's stinking. But yet Jesus rose him from the dead. So if now Jesus did that time, how many of you know that Jesus still wants to do it even today?
Amen.
Jesus wants to do it even today. He wants to do it even here. So, and he's going to do it even today. He's going to do it even here. So if you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord. Because Hebrews 13:8 says, Good News Translation, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the things that I was telling you about Jesus, he wants to do them even now. He wants to do them even today. And I will end with these two scriptures to just show you that Jesus wants to do it even now. He wants to do it among us even today. John chapter 14, 10 to 12 NIV, Mr. Mukosi. So I'm ending with the two scriptures. There's this one and then the last one in Acts. And we are going to pray for those of you who are not feeling well in your body, or if you want to stand for your relative who is sick, I'm going to send a word. And it's not a difficult thing for God to heal. He created our bodies. He should be able to fix them. He could even raise the body of Lazarus from the dead, which was stinking. He should be able to fix your body. Amen. John chapter 10, 10 to 12, NIV.
Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work.
I like this because the way Jesus did it, I also want to do it the same way. The words that I'm speaking to you are not my own words. It's not on my own authority. It is the Father in me who is doing his work. It is Jesus in me who is doing his work. So even when we lay hands on the sick, it is Jesus healing them. We are just vessels. Continue.
Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father.
So Jesus has gone to the Father, but those who believe must do what? Must do the works that Jesus did, even greater works than what he did. And that's what he's going to do today. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's going to do it. And he does it through his church. He does it through his servants. He does it through his children. Acts 19, 11 and 12. Mr. MJ, we're concluding with that one. Acts 19, 11 and 12, NIV. So, whatever Jesus has said, he's able to do. Whatever Jesus has done in the past, he can do it today. And he's going to do it. But then he uses his servants. He uses us. He uses the believers. But he also anoints his servants to do the works that he did. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So similarly, God has anointed me to do his work. Jesus has anointed me to do his work, to preach the gospel, and to heal the sick. Acts 19, 11 and 12 NIV.
God did extraordinary miracles through Paul.
Okay. Who did the miracles?
God.
Through?
Paul.
Who is going to do miracles?
God.
Through us, through me. Amen. So God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. God wants people to use on earth to do his works. And that's why those who believe will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. That's why God is going to heal you as I lay my hands on you. That's why when I send word of healing, your relative will be healed. Like that man who came to Jesus and said, Lord, you don't even need to come under my roof. Speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Amen. So worship team, you can come to the fore. And give me that song. I know there was this, one of the prophets liked saying, talking about calling a musician. Bring the, yeah. So the musician, call the musician, bring the musician. And as the musician started ministering, then the man of God would prophesy. The man of God would start ministering. Okay? So in the same way, I'm saying worship team, I want us to do that one, Umuzimwa Israel. Okay? For those of you who don't understand, that song, Umuzimwa Israel, it says, our barrel ring at Shitu, nothing is too hard for you. Our barrel ring at Wuranze, not even sickness. Okay? And God is going to do it because he's our healer. So you can do the first part about Umuzimwa Israel, Zinala Undi Yehovah, but when we are praying for the sick, I want us to be keeping on repeating, nothing is too difficult for God, not even sickness. And we see God doing it. Amen. And those of you who need prayer, you will come to the fore. We are going to pray for you.